from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint, and once again, joined by Barry.
I am Barry, and I am live from my master bathroom because we have guests, and this is the only quiet spot in the whole apartment.
Are you seriously in the bathroom?
Yes, I'm seriously in the bathroom.
We're going to be posting this show pretty early, tomorrow, actually. Well, today, because we have Halloween Horror Nights news. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trailers to talk about. All sorts of goodies this week have happened. So, but first things, yeah, it's another, we're not really catching up. We just have a lot to discuss this week. So, first things first, as you guys saw on our Twitter account and several other people's Twitter, Facebook, we wanted to take a quick second and, just kind of remember Richard Gerth, the, greeter out at the Grand Floridian. He passed away, and we've been getting all sorts of messages on our Twitter handle after I posted the little gif of him walking out the Grand Floridian doors. Really it's mind-blowing how many lives he touched and how many people are gonna miss him.
Yeah, I mean, it's so many people. You know, I posted messages online today. I mean, even John Stamos posted
messages
and pictures.
I saw that right before we started recording. I saw that John Stamos posted some stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I only had a few interactions with him over the years, but every single time, sweet guy, always nice. You know, there's so many stories from so many different people of you know, things he did for them, you know, times he went out of his way to do things for people, and it's just, it's one of those, you know, he was one of those cast members that definitely brought the Disney magic to guests whenever they were at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I mean, every time I went through the Grand Floridian, which wasn't very often, but I can't recall not seeing him there at the entrance, just greeting people, always having a smile on his face. So he was 92, I believe. People were saying, I tried to get some more information on how old he was, but, he was 92 according to reports. And I didn't, not that it matters, but I was trying to find out how he passed. But at 92, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he had a long life, and I mean, I wish, you know, up into that age, I wish I hopefully I'll still be that spry and active. And,
I know. I hope I have half the energy he did. So we're sending our hearts out to, I'm sure there's tons of cast members that were really close to him and are just heartbroken by this news. So, we'll be thinking about you guys, and, I don't know if they're going to do some kind of memorial or something for him at the hotel. If we do, we'll share it on our social media channels and let you guys know. But thank you guys again for replying to the, I've been trying to retweet as many replies that we've gotten on that post that I posted on Twitter. Just really sweet and awesome messages about people's memories with him. So I'll keep trying to retweet them. So moving on to some lighter and fun news, we got lots of trailers this week. It's been
what?
Yeah, it's been trailer overload this week. From Lego Movie to Spider-Man to Bumblebee, we've been slammed with trailers this week. So, first things first, we're gonna discuss Lego Movie,
the Lego Movie 2, the second part.
The second part, yeah. It looks like when I first watched the trailer, I don't know if there's going to be a time jump, but it seems like things have gone. Everything's not incredibly awesome like the trailer shows.
Yeah, I think it's been 5 years since since what we saw in the Lego movie, and things aren't that great in Bricksburg. And,
since Taco Tuesday, according to the trailer.
Yeah, and then to make things even worse, Lego Duplo invaders from outer space start wrecking everything faster than they can, rebuild it. And
apparently they shoot hearts.
Yes, and so they have to battle them, and it's going to take them into the galaxy, into different worlds.
What's her name gets kidnapped, apparently. So
yeah, Lucy. So yeah,
she gets kidnapped, and they're going to have to go out and save her. And Batman's back in it. A lot of the characters from the original Lego movie are back in the sequel.
Yeah, Lego Batman, Unikitty, Metalbeard. So it's a lot of the same characters, and I mean I like the Lego movie. It's not like my favorite animated film, but the trailer definitely looks good, and we will find out next year.
Yeah, it's one of those movies that it's fun to see, especially like me. I have kids, so taking the kids to go see it. It's a fun time. I really like the first one, so I'm pretty excited to see where the second one goes. And I haven't seen any of the Lego movies in between, because there's been the Ninjago movie.
Yeah, I've seen both the Ninjago movie and Lego Batman is awesome.
I haven't seen Lego Batman.
It's not only is it a good Lego movie, it's a good Batman movie.
I have to go see that, because
And Ninjago was good. I don't really watch the TV show or anything, but I thought the movie was pretty funny.
I've caught Jordan a couple times on watching it on Netflix, and I've watched bits and pieces of it. But you reminded me of the Batman one. I still need to go back and see that. So.
Yeah, no, Lego Batman is very good.
Yeah.
So, all right, so it'll be out next year, February 2019.
Yep, so that's next year. And keeping on comic books here, we're going to be going to Spider-Man next. This trailer, I think, out of all the trailers we're going to discuss today, was... I mean, next to Bumblebee, which we'll get to a little bit later, the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse trailer really blew me away and surprised me.
Yeah, no, it's the animation style is very unique and looks very impressive, and the fact that we're getting all the spider people, we're going to get Miles Morales who has been was introduced in the comics. And Peter Parker's still in the story, and we're even going to get Spider-Gwen too.
I was actually going to ask you, because I know you're a little more into comic books than I am. I was actually going to ask you about Miles Morales when he was kind of introduced into the, because I don't know much about him. Is he a fairly recent character that's been introduced to the comic books, or somebody that was introduced?
He was introduced, I think 2011 was when he was first introduced.
Okay, so he's somewhat new-ish.
And he was introduced in the Ultimate Universe.
Yeah.
And eventually has been integrated into the main Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Because they ended the Ultimate Universe around 2015, and then he was made a character in the main Marvel Universe. So,
gotcha. Yeah, because I'm not too brushed up on my comic book knowledge, so I was really interested in picking your brain about Miles Morales, because the character in the movie, he looks like a really fun and interesting character just based upon this trailer. Him kind of interacting with Peter Parker and everything was,
Yeah, really, that's one thing they're doing a little bit differently, because in the Ultimate Universe, Peter Parker actually dies, and then Miles Morales makes his first appearance.
Ah.
But they're going more with, I'm sure, with more the way it is in the main universe now, where Miles and Peter sort of work together at times.
Yeah.
But I guess they're going to introduce him here. And you know what? If it's good, people will probably be like, oh, more Spider-Man. But if it's good and it's well done, and it also gives us a chance to explore other versions of Spider-Man with, you know, having Miles Morales and also having Spider-Gwen in it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's probably going to be a couple of the other Spider-Universe people show up in it too. Which we've seen in like Ultimate Spider-Man on Disney XD. You know, we've seen Peter Parker interact with the different versions of Spider-Man that are like sort of spread in the multiverse. So
have they gone out and said who the I recall seeing somebody in the trailer. Have they gone out and said who the villain in this movie is?
I don't know. I can't remember if they've said who the villain is going to be in this movie.
There's a from what I remember from watching the trailer, there's a glimpse of somebody. I can't recall who, but there's a glimpse of somebody that looks, you know, that would look to be like a villain. But I didn't know if they had gone out and said so and so is going to be the villain in this film.
I mean, because I know Kingpin is in it. So,
yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be the main villain overall. You know, like many things right now, they sort of try to keep the plot, you know, close to their vest. They're not really revealing everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, they haven't really said, you know, outside of Kingpin, if there's any other villains in this movie. So
yeah, the and you mentioned it briefly, the animation is just, I think that's one of the biggest things that blew me away about the trailer was the animation style. They're combining 2D animation with 3D, and even those little comic book, you know, freeze frames where it has the little bubbles of words and stuff. Just the art direction of this movie is really cool. As far as, you know, just the way it looks, I'll be really interested to see how this movie does in the box office since they're taking this to the movies.
Yeah, it's coming to theaters December 14th, 2018.
Because, I mean, this seems like something, it would go straight to Blu-ray or something, you know?
But yeah, I mean, it looks good. It's going to be interesting to see if you know, we haven't really had, outside of The Incredibles and Big Hero 6, we haven't really had, like, you know, superhero animated films. So I'll be interested to see how well this does. So.
Yeah, that was the other thing is I was, you know, as I watched the trailer and I finished watching it, I was like, I wonder how this is going to do in the theater. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll find out in December. So moving on here, we're going to discuss Bumblebee now. All sorts of superhero movies going on, trailers, stuff. What'd you think of Bumblebee, Barry?
Those of you who know me know I despise the Transformers films.
I knew that about you, so that's why I kind of handed the mic to you. So
I mean, outside of the first one, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it just goes downhill from there.
The rest of them are just abominations that are like just horrible films and
explosions.
The public has definitely gotten, well, at least the U.S. public has definitely gotten tired of them based on the last Transformers film not exactly doing very well in the U.S.
Well, what was really interesting was right before this trailer came out, there was a lot of discussion that Hasbro, or I think it was, there was, I mean, nothing official was announced, official came out, but there was discussion that the Transformers were going to be rebooted.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, this is set in 1987, and I'm wondering if this is sort of the beginning of rebooting them. You know, it's the retro design. It has, you know, Bumblebee and Starscream, who, you know, is the only other Transformer we've seen so far in the trailer. Both of them have a retro design to them.
Yes, I love Starscream's design. When they show the quick glimpse of him, I was like, oh my god, it looks like Starscream.
Yeah, I mean, and that's always been like the biggest beef with a lot of with the Transformers movies is they don't look like
they don't look like them
characters,
yeah.
And in many cases, they don't act like what you're used to dealing with. So, I mean, the trailer looks good. I mean, obviously, I'm not expecting anything, you know, we'll see whether this is a good movie or not.
I was just kind of trying to process how they would, like you said, if this would be the beginning of the reboot for the Transformers series, because if it is, I wouldn't be, depending on how well it does and based upon the trailer, it actually looked pretty good. I was pleasantly surprised at how well it so far looks. And sticking with the whole retro design, I don't want them to go down the path of, you know, destroying the series again. It's hard with these past movies because, like I said, the last one tanked at the box office, so there was all this discussion of reboots. And then the Bumblebee trailer came out, which we knew Bumblebee was happening. This wasn't a surprise.
Yeah, no, I mean, we knew it was happening.
And we knew the Bumblebee movie was happening, so.
And I'd be interested to see whether this movie's good and how well it does. I think the reaction online from the trailer has been pretty positive, and
and freaking John Cena's in it. Did you see that?
Yes,
I saw that, and I was like, "Was that John Cena?"
Yep. But it'll be in theaters December 21st of this year.
Yep, and the last trailer we got before we recorded here was How to Train Your Dragon. Everybody's still calling it How to. Yeah, everybody's
Hidden
still
world.
Everybody's still calling it How to Train Your Dragon 3.
Yeah.
I don't know why they didn't just call it How to Train Your Dragon 3. They called 2. They gotta go with something unique, I guess.
Well, who cares what it's called? But
yeah.
I like the trailer. I one of the things I've liked about this series is the fact that the characters have aged.
Freaking Hiccup's got a beard.
Yeah, I have aged over time,
and
I think that's something you usually don't get in animated movies. And I like the fact that Hiccup and everybody has aged over time.
Well, I think it's kind of required because, you know, the storyline between Hiccup and his dad, it's almost, you know, you're seeing the aging is really focused around Hiccup and him becoming this leader and everything.
Yeah, and they have actually, they've used the animated series that was on Cartoon Network and is now on Netflix. They've used that to sort of fill in the gaps in between the movies somewhat.
Yeah, I was actually discussing this with somebody today. I was like, I hope, because I haven't touched the, what's the Netflix show called?
Dragons something.
Yeah,
the original one was Dragons Riders of Berk.
And then they changed it or something. So
yeah.
But I haven't touched that at all, which I am ashamed because I'm a huge How to Train Your Dragon fan. Everybody sees me on Twitter all the time begging Universal to build a How to Train Your Dragon theme park section. I absolutely love these movies, and we finally got the first trailer for the third installment, the final one. Toothless is in love, and he's found his love in a light fury.
Yes.
Which I was guessing was what she was going to be called, was a light fury, since he's a night fury. But you know, we see the usual silly antics of Toothless in the trailer, and him trying to impress her in the trailer was pretty hilarious. The scene at the very end of the trailer where he's hopping around trying to impress her, and she's like, "What are you doing?"
that was very funny, and sort of got a glimpse of the villain who, as usual, wants to destroy or capture, or you know.
Yeah, he's apparently he's captured all
the Night Furies.
All the Night Furies except for Toothless and now obviously his girlfriend. So it'll be really interested to see how they tie this thing up, what happens in the end, because this is the last installment of this storyline. So I have an inclination this isn't going to be the last How to Train Your Dragon film. As much money as these movies make at the box office. But this is the last one in this storyline. So my guess, and I've seen articles on it, there's a lot of speculation that Toothless is gonna die in this one. Hashtag spoiler alert.
but we will see, and you will be able to find that out on March 1st, 2019.
Yep. So moving on in the animated world and the other company, we got a Wreck-It Ralph. Let me see if I can get this right. Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Or it can be called Ralph Breaks the Internet, Wreck-It
Ralph 2. Either or, pick your poison. Yeah, we got another trailer, the second trailer for Wreck-It Ralph 2. And this one is just absolutely hilarious because of the corporate synergy in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's how well this movie ages, we'll see. But based on the trailer alone, it looks fun. It looks hilarious. The princess scene is, at least what they showed in the trailer alone, was like some of the funniest Disney I've ever seen.
Disney fanboys were all over that.
Oh yeah, and there are some people who have seen the full princess scene, and they have said it's one of the funniest things Disney has ever done.
Oh, it's got to be, because I mean, you've got all the Disney princesses locked up in one room.
Well,
I mean,
well, even in that trailer, what's hilarious is you could see each distinct personality. Like the fact that Pocahontas's hair was blowing, like with the colors of the wind.
Yeah, the colors of the wind and all that. Yeah.
And you could, if you look really closely in the background a couple of different times, you can sort of see like Merida sort of like with a
attitude.
With a pissed off look on her face, yeah. I guess, over the whole princess thing, you know. So
yep.
They each had their own distinct personality, which I really liked. And of course the big thing is outside of the classic princesses, all the modern princesses, it's all the original voices.
Oh really? So, I didn't know that.
Yes, that's out of all the modern ones, it's all the princess voices.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
So that's like a first time that they've all been on the screen together.
That's awesome.
So it's definitely just on that scene alone was hilarious, but all the other little, there are so many, you could sit there and pause that trailer, and once they get to the internet, there's like so many little Easter eggs in the background. It's really
Yeah. The one part where they show the Muppets, Star Wars, Marvel.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, hey, it's Hollywood Studios in 10 years.
Except for the Marvel part.
Yeah. That's true. But we really didn't get any details as far as the plot goes to the movie yet. They're pushing the whole Vanellope and Ralph getting in the internet.
The synopsis said that, you know, they traveled the internet in search of a replacement part to save Vanellope's video game Sugar Rush.
So that's
the only real synopsis, but you gotta imagine there's a villain.
Yeah.
You know, they're sort of holding that close, you know.
Yeah,
haven't really revealed that. So
the first trailer was pretty much a lot of the second trailer, with a few added scenes, and the autocorrect guy, or the prediction guy.
Yeah, the
that was hilarious.
Yeah.
When Ralph started talking and he's trying to predict what he's gonna say. There's limitless possibilities with this movie because it's the internet. so yeah, I enjoyed the trailer. I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good time as usual, because I really enjoyed the first Wreck-It Ralph. If I can remember, I wasn't too sure about Wreck-It Ralph when the trailers first started coming out. But it was the first one was a pleasant surprise to me, and I really enjoyed it. Really fun.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. It's probably the best video, even though it's not based on a real video game, it's probably the best video game movie so far.
Yeah, that's true.
There were so many things in that movie that if you're like fans of video games that like little Easter eggs throughout the movie.
Yeah. hey, speaking of fans,
but Wreck-It Ralph 2, November 21st.
Yeah. So, and like I said, speaking of fans, we wanted a quick talk about this whole topic with Kelly Marie Tran. Apparently she deleted her, I read that she deleted her post. Did she delete her entire Instagram account?
She didn't delete the account unless something has changed. She deleted all the posts. Because if I remember correctly, previously Daisy Ridley just completely dropped off social media completely.
Yeah.
Due to harassment and fan threats and.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I've been trying to see other people's opinions on this, but it's ridiculous what it's come down to as far as what, you know, having your own opinion about something is completely different than just harassing people online. That's not cool.
Yeah, I mean, we see it to on a lower level thing on like theme park Twitter and Disney Twitter, which and neither you or I ever engage in any of that, or even acknowledge that stuff, because it's number one, I don't have time.
Yeah,
I don't have time to be hating and stuff like that, you know. And I don't know what's going on with I mean, all fandom has, there's always a toxic element.
Yeah.
But for some reason, Star Wars right now, the toxic element, and it still is a minority.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Star Wars Celebration or you go to a Comic-Con and a comic convention and everybody is nice, everybody's happy, you know, everybody enjoys it.
Well,
but online right now, there's this group of people who call themselves fans who are just completely toxic and just want to take it out on people, and it especially seems to be the female people in the Star Wars, the female actors in the Star Wars universe, because you don't see Mark Hamill having to delete his Twitter or his social media, or Adam Driver or John Boyega, you know, there's this, you know, I don't want to get really specific, but I mean, there's this element, whether it's that seems to have, a lot of it has started on Reddit and 4chan, that is just very toxic.
Yeah.
And just can't say any, in Last Jedi, obviously polarized some fans, and I don't even think it was the majority of fans. I think it was a large minority, probably based on it. But you know, this thing now where people harass actors,
yeah,
or writers or directors because they didn't like the way the movie was or something like that. It's just,
you'll never get your Star Wars movie, fanboys, so just get over it.
No, you're never going to get what you want. If you want that, then there's countless fan, I'm sure there's countless fanfics that you could read, but it's just,
yeah.
I don't know why right now Star Wars fandom has become, a certain percentage of it has become very toxic.
Yeah.
More so than it feels like any other fandom outside of gaming, which has got its own issues to begin.
Yeah, that's true. I dabbled in that for a while. You know, there's
and that's really where a lot of the toxic stuff started, was the whole Gamergate thing.
Yeah.
And it's always been directed, a lot of it, at women.
Yeah.
And to this day, I just don't understand why you want to sit behind a computer or your phone and just hate on things.
Yeah.
It's like...
No, it's ridiculous.
If you don't like the direction Star Wars is going, then move on to something else.
Yeah.
You can make... And it's one thing to critique.
Sure. Well, like I said, there's
it's another thing to harass.
There's opinions, and I'm all for, you know, why you don't like something, but when you get to the level you're actually verbally harassing somebody, yeah, and it's not their fault, that's just ridiculous. And
yeah, and I mean, I liked Last Jedi. Is it my favorite Star Wars movie ever? No.
No, but it's...
But I liked it. I liked Solo. Is it my favorite Star Wars movie ever? No.
Yeah.
And I think, and we've had this discussion before, I think with Solo, some of it has to do with release date and timing.
Yeah.
And is the reason why that's, you know, it's going to end up being the least successful Star Wars movie. Why? Unless you count that Clone Wars animated film.
Yeah. But no, I completely agree with you on the whole fandom thing. Just, it's ridiculous. I don't know what and if you can do anything about it. I think it'll always be there, unfortunately. But it's the only word that I can come up with is it's ridiculous. And like you said, I don't have time for it. You don't have time for it. I don't get involved. This stuff surprises me. When I see, like, so-and-so deleted her Instagram account or Instagram post because of harassment, it honestly surprises me because I didn't know that that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, and there, you know, there's also the fact that you know, this kind of, you know, her, or I mean, I don't know as much for her. I don't know if it'll affect Daisy really as much, but as an actor in this day and age, you're expected to have social media.
Yeah,
you're expected to be on, you know, minimum Instagram. A lot of them stick to Instagram because it's easier to ignore any people harassing you. But obviously it got to the point after, you know, almost 6 months since the movie release that she got tired of it and just wiped out all her posts.
I just saw this tweet by Johnson himself, the Last Jedi director. And he said on Twitter, I don't know if this was last Tuesday, but he said, quote, "On social media, a few unhealthy people can cast a big shadow on the wall. But over the past 4 years, I've met a lot of real fellow Star Wars fans. We like and dislike stuff, but we do it with humor, love, and respect. We're the vast majority. We're having fun and doing just fine."
Yeah, I mean, like I said, this is not the majority of fans, but the problem... in this day and age, is there can be a very vocal minority.
Yeah.
And they can get very hateful and very mean.
Yeah.
And like I said, I don't understand it. It's like, I don't have time for that. I prefer to be positive about things. You know, yeah, is there stuff I'm not going to like? Yeah, I mean, and there's always stuff I don't like. But God, I'm not going to let it bother me or dominate my day.
No, I've always wondered what people get out of it.
No,
like I want to, like I honestly would like to sit down with somebody that is one of these harassers and be like, what do you get out of this? Do you get like a high off of it? Do you enjoy, you know, it's almost fascinating as to why these people are so ridiculously, excuse my French, asinine on social media to some of these actors.
Yeah, and it's easy to get away with, you know.
Well, they're hiding behind a Twitter account.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Even if you report, it's like how many you're going to have to sit there and sell and report everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure if you confronted 99.9% of these people in real life, and they would probably hide behind a rock.
Yeah.
They
well, the irony is sometimes when people do fight back and respond back, you know, they get the person who they're responding to reports them for threatening them, and then Twitter suspends their account. It's you know, the thing for me, it's like I just think I just ignore it.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously I've never been harassed online, but it's
occasionally by me.
but I don't get involved in any of that.
No,
being
no,
number
no.
one, I don't have time. And being number one, you know, we're very public about our fandom, and
yeah,
you know, we're not going to get into pissing matches with people. So.
Nope. And you know, I've said this a thousand times, and I'll say it again. In regards to, you know, a lot of the theme park drama that goes on in the theme park blogger, Twitter, what have you. I try to get along with everybody. I'm friends with the biggest theme park websites out there. You know, we're all in this thing for the same reason. So there's no reason for us to be, you know, acting like 8-year-olds on Twitter. Sometimes I act like a 6-year-old on Twitter, but that's just all in good fun.
You and I act goofy and post goofy gifs and yep. responses to people, and we make fun like you know, at Drew Boff, everybody makes fun of the fact that he loves Fast and Furious.
But, yeah,
you know, he doesn't. We're not harassing him.
No, he knows it's all in good fun. Like I said, yeah. And Drew knows it. You know, he's a cool guy. So. Anyways, let's talk about some incredible summer and Dino Bash. Let's move on to something a little more lighthearted.
Back to the exciting world of Disney.
Yeah, you you visited Magic Kingdom over the past few days because you were on vacation, lucky bastard.
Yeah, I was on vacation, so I actually got to. I only worked 2 days this week,
lucky.
So I was on vacation. I'll be in the Magic Kingdom again tomorrow.
I was honestly wondering. I was like, how are you getting to all these parks this week? I saw you getting like the Tomorrowland thing, and I was like, he's got to be on vacation or something. So, you visited the Incredible Summer Expo at Magic Kingdom in Tomorrowland. And
yes,
then,
the Incredible Tomorrowland Expo.
Echo.
And then Donald's Dino Bash at Animal Kingdom.
Roar.
Yes. So Tomorrowland, the Incredible Tomorrowland Expo, or as I call it, slap a sign or banner on it festival.
as a lot of people are calling it.
Yeah, because that's basically, there's a lot of incredible signage up in Tomorrowland, and even, you know, as you go across the bridge, there's banners, and then they slapped an Incredible Tomorrowland Expo sign up on the Tomorrowland.
There were a lot of people entrance. Upset about that.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, at least Incredible sort of fits into the design of Tomorrow, the retro futuristic design of Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
I mean, the cool things, they had, you know, 4 photo pass locations that had, you know, 3 of them were backdrops from the movie, and then one of them is more of like a Tomorrowland Expo backdrop. But, I mean, it was pretty neat that you know, you could do one scene where you're sort of posing like you're Frozone. You know, another one, you're battling the robot from the first movie. And then
that one looks pretty cool.
Yeah, that one's the coolest looking one. And then another one, I think, is the Underminer, which we'll see in the which ended the first movie and we'll see in this next movie. And then the other one, you're just sort of in front of a Tomorrowland Expo background, but you do a little photo pass thing that adds Jack-Jack to your photo.
Yeah.
So I mean that's cute. Then at the Rocket Tower Plaza stage, they have Jack-Jack's Diaper Dash.
Yeah,
which those of you who've been, I guess, on a Disney cruise are familiar with diaper races. Where
That was the first place I saw it, was on the. I can't remember if we saw it when we went on the Disney Wonder, the Disney Fantasy, but that was the first place I saw it, and I was like, oh, they're bringing it to Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I mean it's basically babies who have to crawl from one parent to the other parent or guardian.
It's so and much fun to watch.
It's funny. It's hilarious. I mean, I thought it was cute. The first race, none of the kids would go, and then the second race, one little girl just sort of took off.
It's so funny because you don't know what they're going to do. Like you said,
No, you have no clue what they're doing. You know, one's sitting there crying. And,
yeah.
And
they're babies, so it's like they all have their own thing to do.
Yeah, that was really, you know, they usually do that based on the current schedule around noon, and then from 2 to 7 is basically a dance party where at different points they bring out Frozone, yeah. Mr. Incredible, Mrs. Incredible, and then the big thing is the fact that they now have an Edna Mode character.
I still think she should have been a face character.
Yeah, but I mean the other characters they're all in masks too.
Yeah, I get
it. So they all sort of look creepy to begin with.
Yeah,
and weird.
But I think Edna she would have made such a cool face character.
Yeah, I mean it would have been more interesting as a face character.
Yeah.
But it's neat that we have you know that seems to be based on the reaction everyone's favorite one who came out.
She looks good. I'm not saying she doesn't look good, but I just think she could have made a better face character than any of the other ones.
And they basically come out on the stage and do a little bit on the stage, and then they go into the crowd and dance around in the crowd. And basically it seems to be, you know, a rotation. Every hour they rotate the four characters over and over again, with regular dance party stuff going in between each character appearance.
Yeah.
My only thing is they schedule this from 2 to 7 in the Rocket Tower Plaza, which for those of you who know,
it's hot. That,
it is so hot.
It's hot.
That's one of the hottest part of the days, and that, you know, the whole issue with that stage, they found, you know, how many years ago was it when they redid that and then tried to do that Stitch show and then realized, oh, we can't do a show that takes place in the middle of the day
because it's
hot as hell there.
Yeah.
But they've decided, oh, we can do a dance party.
Yeah.
And then the funny thing with the diaper dash is, like, they put the mats out, but then, like, the actual, like, race surface,
mm-hmm.
they don't roll it out until right, they don't flip it over until right before.
So it doesn't sit there and bake?
Yeah, and the stage manager uses one of those temperature, like an
infrared thermometer.
Yeah, an infrared thermometer to check the temperature.
Like let's look here at the surface to
make sure it's not too hot.
We're good.
So that gives you it's like okay, we know that's hot.
Yeah,
a hot time of day. You know, I don't understand why the dance party's not at night. It makes no sense to me. And especially considering the fact that Magic Kingdom has almost nothing going on at night outside of the fireworks and Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, so. I didn't know that the dance party didn't take place at night until you actually tweeted about it when you were there the other day.
Yeah, I mean, it boggles my mind. You know, there's a lot of in Merchant of Venus, there's a ton of Incredibles merchandise, even some Edna Mode merchandise.
Isn't there some food too?
Yeah, there's different food. You know, there's pizza, which the funny thing is, like, it looks like the old pizza Disney used to serve at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
It's that really, I think, what, thick Sicilian style, you know, really lots of bread pizza.
Yeah, I saw it the day I got the Purple Wall Slush. I saw the Dash pizza next to it on the menu in the Tomorrowland Terrace.
Yes, the summertime, it's busy. We're only open for lunch, dining location. Yeah, there's an Impossible Burger at
spit it out.
The Tomorrowland
Terrace?
I can't believe I'm going blank on the big quick service
Cosmic Rays.
Yeah, Cosmic Rays. There's like that, and then there's
is that the burger with like the mozzarella sticks or whatever?
Yeah, Incrediburger. With mozzarella sticks, and some people said that's pretty good. That's better than the normal burger. There's a salad. At anti-gravities. There's a crepe ice cream. Edna's, it's like an Edna Mode themed crepe ice cream dish that a lot of people have said it's pretty good. The Lunching Pad has a mask pretzel.
Yeah, I saw that Mrs. Incredible pretzel mask thing.
Yeah,
and that was pretty cool.
It's also got some freshly, like, Jack Jack's cookies, which are like 6 freshly baked chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, some different food items. You know, it's a neat little overlay for the summer. You know, brings a little extra entertainment to Tomorrowland.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, Donald's Dino Bash over at Animal Kingdom. To me, even though, yeah, they threw up a bunch of signs, they put Donald's hat on top of the dinosaur in the boneyard, but it's, to me, it's more well thought out, because they all have new, almost all of them have new costumes. The big thing is you have Scrooge McDuck and Launchpad McQuack doing meet and greets.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest thing out of this whole Dino Bash thing.
Which normally you only get to see them at special events.
Yeah.
Especially Launchpad. And the cool thing with Scrooge McDuck is they've updated him to look like he does currently on DuckTales with the red jacket instead of the old blue jacket. But then the cool thing is for Donald, Daisy, Goofy, and then especially Chip and Dale, they all have new costumes just for this event, for the Dino Bash. And Chip and Dale's is the best, that they're dressed up in dinosaur suits.
Yeah, they look, I think one of them's a Triceratops, right, or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, they look pretty adorable.
They are awesome. That to me, if there's any good thing out of Dino Bash, is the Chip and Dale outfits. And the cool thing is they host, this also has a dance party, shocking. this one runs from 4 to 8 as of right now, and it's Chip and Dale doing the dance party, which if you go to our YouTube channel and see the Dino Bash video, they're pretty hilarious. They really interact with the guests, and they just don't sort of walk around. They're doing, popping out dance moves, and
I saw your video of Chip and Dale when you did the selfie mode on that one video you posted on Twitter. That was pretty
hilarious. Yeah, we're like dancing with Chip, and all of a sudden Chip goes low, you know.
Yeah. I was like, "Uh-oh, Chip's getting down. Wait a second."
Yeah, no. I mean, they were hilarious, and that dance party was, you know, we hung out for about 20 or 30 minutes. That was pretty fun. And yes, it, once again, it runs from 4 to 8, and, you know, sort of annoying to me that it stops at 8 o'clock, because even though Animal Kingdom's now staying open until 10:30, now their entertainment seems to be ending at 8 p.m. which it just, another thing that sort of boggles my mind.
Yeah.
It's summertime, it's hot.
Yeah,
why you don't run the dance party a little later?
I don't know what Disney's thing is. For the most part, keeping characters out, keeping some sort of entertainment going until at least 9:30.
Yeah, well, it's a Disney World thing. It's not a Disney thing. You go to Disneyland and there's entertainment going on all night.
Yeah.
But you know, but I liked it better than the Incredible Tomorrowland Expo. I thought it was more fun. It's great that they have all these meet and greets. And the cool thing is they all have unique costumes. It's not just your typical meet and greet. And all their new costumes are really cool looking. And they even have themed locations for each of the meet and greets. So they literally keep it constantly moving. Like, once the character's time is up, they'll go behind the scenes. And within a minute or two of them going behind the scenes, they'll come back out.
Yeah.
So they're constantly, you know, rotating the characters in and out.
That's cool. So it's pretty much a constant thing throughout the day.
Yeah, and I didn't, you know, it was a pretty packed day. the day I was there shooting the meet and greets, and the lines weren't that long. And I think it also helps that there's so many characters.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can... It felt to me that the longest lines were like, for Scrooge and Launchpad, whereas everybody else, especially Chip and Dale's line, wasn't that long because they're sort of back on the crustaceous whatever trail. So they're their meet and greet's sort of hidden. And to me, that's the one if you're going to get any of them, get that one, because their costumes are some of the most unique costumes I've seen on a meet and greet character.
So, oh, yeah, up there by, it's kind of near the dinosaur, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So them and Daisy are on that trail. And so.
Yeah. Excuse me.
But it's, you know, fun little additions. You know, it gives a little something extra for the summer. You know, here, as you know, with Toy Story Land, or allegedly maybe most of Toy Story Land opening June 30th.
Yeah. And we had videos, and you did videos of both the Incredibles Expo and the Dino Bash, which is up on our YouTube page, youtube.com/thrillgeek. So go on there and check those videos out. And all right,
but enough Disney, let's get to what the main event.
Last but not certainly not least, we have a big Halloween Horror Nights announcement. Biggest Halloween Horror Nights ever this year for Halloween Horror Nights 2018, whatever you want to call it. They announced today that we're going to be getting 10 houses, and they announced 3 of the scare zones and 1 show, which may be the only show we're getting this year. So first things first here, we'll dive into the 3 scare zones that were announced, which are the Harvest, Twisted Tradition, and those pesky vampires are back. Vamp 85 New Year's Eve is coming. The vamps are coming back. So, I heard the Harvest is actually going to be located where the altar was located last year. That was just hearsay on Twitter. Where is it here?
It makes sense, because that seems to be you know, it's going to be sort of the best of.
I never got the description for Twisted Tradition up on the website, because the website, the video was blocking it, and I was like, I can't see the description. But
yeah, I mean, as far as the Harvest going there, you know, it seems to be, it's going to sort of take the same sort of style as Altars of Horror, where it's sort of going to be like, hey, it's the preview of the event. But it seems to me they're going to try to do a higher level of theming. So I could see something, you know, they sit there and say it's a barn, so I could imagine something that sort of looks like crossbeams.
Yeah.
Through that area, which is, you know, it's a narrower walkway area there, so I could definitely see them sort of doing something.
I hope it wouldn't take much to do better than Altar of Horrors last year.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've done. I mean, that scare zone's always the hard one because they can't do as much with it.
Well, yeah, like you said, it's a really narrow area right there in between Shrek and Despicable Me.
It's a really narrow area that, you know, the parades just get, you know, barely have enough space to get through that area.
Yeah.
So there's only so much they can do with that area. So, you know, it looks like, you know, some of the theming is obviously going to be up in the air, which, you know, in the past, some of the better scare zones they've had through that area have employed stuff that's up in the air above everybody. And obviously pieces, you know, the pieces that they can bring out, they'll bring out each night. So
yeah, they've done a lot of like hanging stuff from like wires and stuff from up in the air between Shrek and Despicable Me. So it'll be interesting to see what they do this year with if this is in fact where it's going, which it seems like it is. So
and then Twisted Tradition will be your Central Park scare zone this year.
Yeah, this one sounded, they're going to have pumpkins in it. I like I said, I didn't get the description up on the website, and I actually went back and read it. But it says, travel through the forest of Central Park. An ancient evil has been awakened. It says, rotting pumpkins fused with decaying human flesh. So it sounds like, obviously, the jack-o'-lanterns will be back, which everybody loved through the trick-or-treat scare zone. And it's almost it seems like it's almost become a tradition to put the jack-o'-lanterns up in the trees in that Central Park area, which is really...
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see how much of that, whether they do that or not, or how much of that will be, because I imagine some of that might be part of trick-or-treat.
Yeah.
But yeah, I imagine, you know, it seems like there's going to be sort of like jack-o'-lantern, you know, twisted-looking human deformed creatures and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it'll be really interesting to see, too, because we have all the construction going on right there for the new Water Lagoon show.
But that should be done
by the time
it pretty soon here. I mean, Universal's been pretty tight to the vest, but we know the fountains have been testing, and
yeah,
we know that, you know, information about the show accidentally leaked online last week.
Yeah. So, oops.
You know, that construction will be done, but you know, nothing really exciting about the first two, but Vamp 85 is obviously the one that's got everybody excited.
Yeah, Vamp 55 turned out to be one of the hits, and it's really no surprise that they're bringing this scare zone back. And I really didn't hear any, you know, I follow all the Horror Night websites, and you know, they get the inside information usually before I see it. I'm guessing this will be located in the same area where Vamp 55 was, over there on Hollywood Boulevard.
See, that's the question. I've heard some people say New York Street, because it would make sense.
New Year's Eve. Yeah, I can kind of see that, I guess.
And doing some... But if it is New York Street, it's going to be on a bigger level. It would have to be on a bigger level and more elaborate.
Yeah, because for Vamp 55, they just had like a few like parade floats, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah, because it was taking place during Homecoming.
Yeah.
It, to me, it would make sense on New York Street.
Yeah.
That seems to be what a lot of people online are saying that it's going to be.
It says right here, as the ball drops, fanged punks and big-haired vamps will start their feeding frenzy. So it almost sounds like it's a cross between, like, The Purge and Vamp 55.
Yeah, I mean, so to me, until we hear otherwise, I'd say New York Street, which obviously leaves open San Francisco, or who knows, they may have to move that scare zone to a different spot this year, because allegedly Fast and Furious will be open during Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah, and they got all that crazy music blasting from the gift shop and everything.
Yeah, so I mean, but in obviously Hollywood Boulevard. So
yep.
You know, there's 3 year scare zones. Vamp 85. Really wasn't that much of a secret. There's quite a few people I know who knew this was going to happen, and including a special little artist friends of ours who already had her artwork and T-shirt ready.
She
for
was
today.
Ready to go. And what's her? Go ahead and give her a plug, because she deserves every bit of recognition. Because
I mean, at Shelby Denim Art, or you know, ShelbyDenimArt.com is art. She's already got Vamp 85 T-shirts for sale.
Yeah, she's ready to go.
And she was the one. She was the one. Even though I forgot, she was the one who told me there was going to be an announcement today.
Yeah.
Which in the past there's been an announcement on the anniversary days.
Yeah.
You know, it's, but we never expected like this much stuff to drop of not only scare zones.
Well, apparently it was leaked on the UK travel website that there was going to be 10 houses like last night, yesterday.
Yeah, that came out this week, and then
so
you know, and which always seems to happen, somebody on the outside accidentally posts the information early. So yeah,
it's usually
10 houses. That's the big, you know, the big ooh shocker, 10 houses. which
there was a lot of people figured out trying to figure out where the 10th house is going to go, whether it's going to be another tent house or whether they're just going to throw it, another house in another soundstage that's not being used. Or
I'm expecting another soundstage because I've heard that one that hadn't been used in a while is going to be used this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't really see him doing another tent house.
I don't know if there's any other area to do a tent house.
Not really, because the two that they have back there, back behind Men in Black, those two are pretty squeezed in there.
Yeah, there's the two permanent ones that are behind Men in Black.
And then you have the one sprung tent over on the other side of Men in Black.
And Men in Black.
Yeah.
And then you have, I guess, what's really become the permanent Halloween Horror Nights location, the former parade building. So I can't imagine. It's got to be another soundstage. And from what I've heard, it you know, based on the rumors, it is another sound. It's one that's been used in the past, but was not used last year, or I believe the year before that. So so that would make sense. I'd be interested in how that's going to do crowd control wise. It seems like with the announcement of 10 houses that it's looking like we're only going to get one show, which we knew was going to be Academy of Villains.
Yeah, Academy of Villains is returning.
And based on every one that we sort of know who's in the know, that it's going in the Fear Factor stage.
Yep. R.I.P. Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it would make sense transition wise to maybe this year, hey, we add an extra house, and then maybe we do one show. Whether I like Academy of Villains, I'm a fan of Academy of Villains.
Yeah.
Whether they can fill up that stadium, that every show, I don't know. I would imagine we're going to get a longer show because both the last two shows, the last 2 years, clocked in at around 16 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is just not long enough for a show in that venue. I mean, I would expect a 25 to 30 minute show. Obviously a more elaborate show. Whether we'll get a larger troupe of dancers, or maybe they bring in like an outside act for the transition parts, and that, you know, sort of fits into the storyline of the show. Because I mean, like last year they had the painter guy, in the Irma show.
Yeah,
you know, but I mean, I imagine we're getting like we had the first year, a full blown show, with a storyline, and on a bigger stage.
I had this discussion with Potter Meg right before we get on here, about Academy of Villains going in Fast and Furious. Why the heck am I saying Fast and Furious? In Fear Factor. And you know, as sad as I am to see Bill and Ted go, like you said, I enjoy Academy of Villains. I don't think I stopped but maybe once to watch the whole show. Other than that, I would just stop occasionally and watch it for a few minutes when it was over there, in its location the past few years. But it'll be nice to sit down. That's one of the good things, because, you know, you're standing there for 15, 20 minutes.
That's always been the thing with Bill and Ted, is whether the show's been good or not, it draws, you know, on what was that theater holds like, what, 2,000 people? It draws, you know,
it's a nice
1,000, it pulls 1,000 to 2,000 people off the walkways.
Yeah.
You're sitting down for, like, you know, if you include loading in, you know, you're sitting down for around 40 minutes. You get off your feet.
Yep.
It pulls crowd away. And you know, it's important to have that's, you know, the one thing that they've learned crowd control wise, you've got to have shows at Halloween Horror Nights. And you know, they used to have two sit down shows, and unfortunately they've lost, you know, they lost that. And you know, whether we, there's still some other maybe minor show that may go in across from Mel's, we'll see.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of discussion of any other shows, really, any rumors or anything. I haven't seen anything other than Academy of Villains, so...
Yeah, or, you know... I mean, in the past, they brought in like, what... It was, like, magicians or mentalists that had played in the Animal Theater in years past.
You know,
I don't see that happening.
You know what Halloween Horror Nights needs to bring back? Robosaurus.
I knew you were going to say that.
They need to bring back Robosaurus, because I think he's still a thing, like in Vegas or something. I don't know.
I don't know. That's one thing. When I watch if you go on my YouTube channel, you watch one of my videos from, it was it 16 or 17?
Yeah.
And you see Robosaurus. I watch it down. It's like, why did we even think this was entertaining?
Yeah. I remember him as back as far as like Halloween Horror Nights, like 5 and 6 and 7. He was there for a good run back in the day.
It was always something they would bring in. It's like, oh, we need something extra.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's, you know, I'm glad. I mean, we also knew Academy of Villains' house. I think it's awesome we're getting 10 houses, which is interesting because that sort of feeds into the rumor that there's going to be 5 original houses this year.
Yeah.
You know, because we knew, and you know, the other big rumor, which I mean, I always find it funny when people this week have brought up Halloween, and it's just like that's like that rumor is one of the oldest ones that we're getting a Halloween house. You know, there would be nothing surprising about that if they announce Halloween. I think the shock would be if they've held back and then all of a sudden announce. You know, even though it's cooled off. You know, there was the rumor for the longest time about it.
Yeah.
But I just don't see it happening, to coin a phrase.
I don't, you know, it's hard because you have all these huge Stranger Things.
I mean, it's very obvious that the 80s are a big theme this year. I mean, they even have pretty much have come out said that 80s is a big theme part of this show.
Oh yeah, they redid the whole website with like VHS cassettes, and they pretty much said that the houses are going to be, I don't know if they said all the houses are going to be 80s themed, but the there's an 80s theme going on this year. So.
I could definitely see the original houses maybe being 80s theme.
Yeah.
But you know, or you know, maybe we get one, you know, that would feed into the rumor of classic Nightmare Before Elm Street.
Yeah, I forgot, you know, that was a rumor.
Yeah, I mean, that would feed into that. I will be shocked if we get an American Horror Story house, because I don't feel like last season, you know, besides the clown cult thing, I don't think last season really feeds as well into just a straight-up house.
Yeah.
And of course, like the last two have been, you know, big houses based on multiple seasons. So there hasn't really been much talked about when it comes to American Horror Story.
So yeah, you know,
but so we'll see. There's definitely an 80s bent to this year. So we'll see if we'll get a couple of other 80s, maybe horror films that it ends up. I mean, whatever we get Halloween-wise, it's going to be based on the new film. Because they've done Halloween 1, they've done Halloween 2. I cannot imagine them doing Season of the Witch. That would shock the crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
So I imagine it's with it being Blumhouse that it'll be based on this year, the new one.
Speaking of Halloween, I cannot wait for this trailer tomorrow. They've been teasing it like all week, and I am just chomping at the bit. Every little Jamie Lee Curtis scene I see in these teasers, I'm like fangirling. I'm so excited about this
trailer.
It'll be
interesting because it's, you know, they tried to redo Halloween and it didn't really do well, and you know, they're sort of bringing it back around again. You know, there was Halloween H2O.
Yeah.
So it'll be interested to see how the trailer is. And it seems to be, I can't imagine, you know, them doing it unless they, I can't imagine that she would have signed on if she didn't like the script.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that trailer is. But I'm, you know, Halloween Horror Nights, you know, 10 houses, that's a lot of houses.
It is, and also tickets went on sale today, so you can get your Frequent Fear Pass, your Frequent Fear Plus.
Yeah, everybody was excited after all those surveys. It's Frequent Fear is back.
Yep.
And the price didn't go up.
Yeah, that was a big shock that there was really no price increases from what I could tell comparing it to last year.
I'm as usual, you know, you and I will probably be getting the Frequent Fear Plus, and you know, so you can get that first Saturday and those Fridays, and of course that final night.
Yeah.
And I can still not ever bring myself to ever buy the Express Pass, because it's so overpriced,
but I can't justify spending almost $300 on Express.
And for me and you, I mean, living 15, 20 minutes from Universal, it's like between Stay and Scream and between going there, you know, I know you didn't do it as much, but, you know, between going there at midnight when it's open until 2 a.m., you know, I'm rarely had to wait in long lines unless I was hanging out with a group.
You just do it here and there, and you know, you get everything done, and it's easy to do with the Frequent Fear Plus. So I'm excited about this year. Should be a good year so far. I mean, we're only three houses in as far as announcement goes. So
we have seven more houses
to go.
Seven more houses and two more scare zones.
That's crazy. It's shaping up to be one hell of a year at Halloween Horror Nights this year. And, of course, we will be there, probably Barry more than me, as usual. Of course, I'm not building my community haunted house this year, so maybe I might be able to squeeze in some more Horror Nights time this year. So we'll see.
We will be there a lot, as usual, except for the weekend I get married.
That's right. Your wedding is,
We will be there a lot. I think, you know, I really feel, especially like the last two years, we offer some of the most extensive Halloween Horror Nights coverage compared to almost any other theme park
You know, I'm not one to brag, but it's largely due to part to you, so I can't take much credit, if any at all. You're there a lot, so
we're there almost every night except for Saturdays. We are there a lot.
It's like my
fiance knows that she can plan. I've told her, it's like after we get back from the wedding and all that, enjoy your month of October. Girls' night all month.
Yeah,
you know, because she knows where I will be most nights.
Yep, especially this year, as good as it's shaping up to be. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a year. If you want to do if you're not getting Express Pass and you want to do Stranger Things, you either need to do Stay and Scream, or you need to be at the gate.
Yep.
At the gate 45 minutes to an hour before it opens, because that is the only way.
Yep.
You're going to not have to deal with
two or three hour wait lines,
even with 10 houses.
Yeah. Stranger Things is still going to be ridiculous.
It's going to be ridiculous unless it sucks, but I can't imagine that.
Yeah.
I mean, you can even tell how excited they are about having Stranger Things, and I can't imagine them dropping the ball on this one.
No. So, all right, let's wrap it up here. I think that's it, right? Nothing else?
Yeah, that's it, and we are at Thrill Geek on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/ThrillGeek. Like and follow our Facebook page. We're all kinds of exciting stuff is always on the Facebook page. YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. YouTube.com/ThrillGeek. Subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Are we British? ThrillGeek.
We are almost at 17,000 subscribers on the YouTube channel.
On the YouTube.
But you can not only do we have the incredible Tomorrowland Expo highlight video, the Donald Dino Bash highlight video, but we also have the mini parade from this past Saturday celebrating Peter Pan's 65th anniversary.
Yeah, I forgot you got Magic did that too. Kingdom, we didn't really discuss that.
which had Peter Pan, Wendy, some Lost Boys, Tink, Captain Hook, Smee. They even brought out the pirate float, which you don't get to see that much except for special parades.
Yeah.
And a bunch of Disney bounders and dressed in there as their favorite Peter Pan characters. So we have that video up there for you. So it's been a Disney blogging week here at Thrill Geek.
Yeah, like I said on Twitter, you damn Disney blogger.
But the exciting thing, though, Universal-wise, is we will be at the Jurassic Park meetup.
Yeah, what's that all about?
So, I mean, which they've been really tight with not really saying what's going to go on.
Just like you're going to meander or like hang out with some dinosaurs or something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I imagine we're going to get some one-on-one time with Blue, who has debuted now at Universal. So I'm excited about that, and who knows? We might put together a little blogging video of that.
Oh, geez. You know,
we might do a little vlogging for that event.
God help us.
Since we bought that little Osmo, and
yes, I'll have the Osmo, so maybe we can attempt a Thrill Geek vlog.
Yes. Yes.
Can't believe I'm saying that word.
Pictures of Clinton, his kids, and in the backyard. So.
All right, guys. I'm going to actually be recording again tomorrow. Well, anyways, I'm going to be recording
a bonus podcast coming.
Yeah, this one I'm going to stay up late tonight, get it edited. It'll be posted Friday, and then I'm going to be recording again Friday night with Ryan. It's just going to be me and him. Barry's got family in town, so it'll just be me and Ryan chatting about Disneyland, because ever since he's come on board, he's done all sorts of things at Universal, Knott's Berry Farm, Disneyland. So I'm going to have him on for a small episode and chit-chat about all the stuff going over there on the West Coast. So look for that. I'll probably post that one on Monday, the regular time frame. But this one will be live Friday, tomorrow morning, today, whatever. So, all right.
You will have already listened to it because it's now over with.
Yeah, it's already done. So, all right, guys. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys again on the next episode.
See you in the parks.